This series of presentations concerning Christian apologetics is offered for the edification of all students of God's Word by spiritandtruth.org. Dr. Paul Hennebury, president of TELUS Biblical Institute, will lead our study. It is our prayer that these presentations will deepen your understanding of the Bible and allow you to draw closer in your relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now let's begin our time of study with Dr. Hennebury.
My name is Paul Martin Hennebury. Today I want to talk to you about biblical faith. When anyone raises this word faith, straight away I think most people would like to oppose it to the word reason and the word evidence. But the Bible never does that. Biblical faith is in contact with reason and is in contact with evidence and with proof. In other words, the Bible nowhere tells Christians to have blind faith, faith in spite of the evidence. In Hebrews chapter 11, we are told that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, just because you can't see it doesn't mean that there isn't evidence of it. You can't see numbers, but you believe that they're there, and there's certainly evidence that numbers are there and they work. You can't see the laws of logic, and yet we have to use them and we have to believe in them in order to have any proof of anything whatsoever. So faith is just that which we bring with us in order to operate in this world. Our minds need to have faith in order to employ reason. Reason has to fix on something and then needs to reason after it. The famous chemist and philosopher of science, Michael Polanyi, said that you have to have faith in any aspect of knowledge that you turn your mind to. In his great book, Personal Knowledge, he said this. Just listen to this quotation. He says, "Tacit assent, an intellectual passion, the sharing of an idiom and of cultural heritage, affiliation to a like-minded community, such are the impulses which shape our vision of the nature of things on which we rely for our mastery of things." And then he says this, "No intelligence, however critical or original, can operate outside such a fiduciary framework." Fiduciary is just $1,000 word, meaning trust-based. So, in other words, you have to have a faith-based platform in which you can build your knowledge. And he says that all knowledge has to have this fiduciary or this faith-based aspect to it. You cannot know anything without believing and moving towards that object of knowledge. In fact, Polanyi elsewhere in his book says that you cannot abstract the knower from what he says he knows. The knower and the known go together. Now, the knower and the known, the person and the thing that he says that he knows, these things, you see, are part and parcel of the knowing phenomena. And therefore, I hope that you see that in order for us to know something, we have to believe that it's an object of knowledge. We have to be committed to it. We have to have an intellectual passion and a tacit assent, as Polanyi says, towards that very thing. Moreover, we have to be able to usually share that with a community that reinforces that aspect. Now, you think about the present secularist and atheist approach of intellectual academia. Don't think that they don't have faith. They just don't have faith in God. But they certainly have faith in their own intelligence. They have their faith in the fact that they are rational in believing their atheistic approach. They have faith in the laws of logic that they actually operate. They have faith in all kinds of things that they meet in the world. And that is all that we mean when we're talking about faith in God. God is an object of knowledge, and when we turn to Him and we trust Him, we find that God is certainly who He says He is, who He claims to be. Now, naturally, according to the biblical worldview, we should be oriented toward God, because that orientation is what helps to define us. That's the orientation that helps us to make sense of our experience. And yet we are, the Bible tells us, prone to drift away from that mooring. And like a boat that's adrift, we will just go anywhere without any real anchor, without any real claim to know anything. After all, if we claim that truth is relative, then we can't make a true statement, can we, that we accept, we expect others to agree with. If we say morality is relative, then we can't say that killing seals is wrong or that racism is immoral. Of course, we do say that, and moral relativists like to say things like that, even though they have taken the carpet of morality from under their own feet. What we need to do is that we need to say that the approach that faith is necessary to any true statement that we might make and anything that we might believe. And the Bible supports that approach. The Bible says that through faith we understand. In other words, we believe something, as Augustine would reword it, in order to understand it. We don't understand something and then say that we believe it. No, we have to approach it in terms of our commitment to it. We have to have a faith approach to it, as Polanyi says. So biblical faith is about starting with a God who speaks to us, a God who has created us, a God who defines us, and admitting that without that right orientation, which is faith, we cannot use our reasoning correctly. In fact, we will use our reasoning incorrectly and come up with wrong answers. Malcolm Muggeridge liked to say that the nature of man being a sinner is the most empirically proven fact of Scripture. Just read the newspaper. And yet, how many people will believe that empirical fact? The Bible is the only one, the only book there that tells us that we're sinners. The Quran doesn't. The Upanishads don't do that. The Vedas don't do that. The atheistic literature doesn't do that. The Hindu literature and the Buddhist literature doesn't say that. Only the Bible says that we are born in sin. And certainly there's clear evidence that that's true, both within our own lives and also, as we say, on the media. And yet, why won't we believe it? Why won't we have faith in what's clearly in front of us? Well, it's because we would rather not have that kind of faith, you see. Sam Harris, in his book, The End of Faith, doesn't define faith properly in the whole book. So the faith that he says there's the end of is not the faith of the Bible. And so we can agree with him as long as he's not using a biblical definition of faith. Here are two common definitions of faith which are used by people like Harris and Richard Dawkins and Peter Boghossian and others, which we all have nothing to do with and which we say is not a correct interpretation of biblical faith. Boghossian and others like to say that definition of faith is believe in something we know isn't true. Well, folks, that is not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we are to prove all things, to hold fast that which is good or that which has been tested and shown to be true. You don't believe something that you know is not true. That's dumb. Another one that they try to encumber us with is the belief in something without evidence. But the Bible doesn't say we're to believe things without evidence. The Bible says that there is plenty of evidence that's been shown us, that's been given to us, we are to believe. And that evidence comes via revelation, comes via the experience that we have when we trust in Jesus. And even if we just have a basic biblical worldview, a biblical framework in which to understand ourselves, like people like Galileo had and so on, not necessarily Christians in the evangelical sense, but we have that kind of fiduciary framework, as Polanyi calls it, we see that we can do all kinds of things, discover all kinds of things in the world by starting out from that position. But we don't start out with saying that we know this is untrue, but we're going to believe it anyway. No, we say, no, this is the truth about the world, and because this is true about the world, we can do these certain things, because we can expect that if this is true, these other things follow from it. For example, if God created the world and created us to interact with the world, then it only follows that we can go out into the world and see what God's done in the world, and it will make sense to us. It will be rational, it will be orderly, it will be predictable. The very things that are the foundation of modern science. And the same thing with morality, the same thing with beauty, the same thing with art. That's why modern art is, you know, here, there and everywhere and so chaotic, because it's given up on this notion of a faith in the world or in an explanation of the world that actually makes sense. And so faces no longer look like faces. Landscapes no longer look like anything we see out in the real world. It's not that I'm against abstract painting, but what is often being told to us by this approach is that nothing really makes sense. There's no such thing as a world picture that captures the reality out there. Whereas the older painters, the Renaissance painters, the Dutch masters, even people like Cezanne certain others after him are saying that the world does make sense and we can capture truths about the world and teach ourselves to look at the world differently, but really and concretely from these different vantage points. But we can only do that if we believe that the world actually makes sense. To do that, we have to have faith that the world is comprehensible and that our minds are actually in touch with the extended world. That is biblical faith. And all saving faith is taking that and putting it towards an analysis of self as a sinner and then seeing that the only way of salvation is for us who are rebels and going our own way and being independent, to come back to our Creator, to come back to God, to be reconciled to Him through His Son.